And this year, our church is putting together, has put together a devotional for this season, the season of Advent. Now, before the first devotional, I don't know if you've gotten into yours yet. If you not, you might have yours in the mailbox still, unless I took yours out of the mailbox. If so, I'm sorry. But at the beginning, before it gets to the first devotional, it says this. Celebrating Advent involves intentional preparation for the birth of Jesus Christ. For Christians, the Advent 2021 season reminds us not only of Jesus' birth, but as of his eternal presence and the eventual second coming. Advent is meant to be a time of hope, faith, joy, and peace. In Advent, we are reminded that God sent his Son to the world so that we might have a relationship with him. So today, I have the honor of sharing about the joy that we find in Scripture through the birth of Jesus and the promise of his return. But before I get into that, I ask that you close your eyes and bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that I have to share your word. Lord, I pray that you use the words that come out of my mouth to bring honor to yourself. Lord, that they're not my words, but your words that you're speaking through me. God, thank you for these words that you've placed on my heart and my mind this week. I pray that I can articulate them well. In your name we pray. Amen. So there are many things that bring joy to my life at this time of year. From the Christmas music that we all love to hear, I love to hear, to driving around and seeing the beautiful light displays on people's houses and the beautiful lights on the Christmas trees, to those sweet treats that Miranda makes and other people make that I get to eat. I'm not good at making the sweet treats, but I love to eat those sweet treats. I also love to see and I find joy in begin to spend time with family and celebrating together with my family. But there is one thing that fills me with joy above all these other things, and that is giving presents to people. I love to give a gift to people. Have you ever found that perfect gift for someone? It was a gift that when you're walking through the store, you saw it and you're like, I know who I need to give that to. I know the exact person who would love this gift. Well, this year, Miranda and myself, we found that gift for one of our family members. And I get excited when I think about sharing this joy with them. Because this gift is so great, I am confident that it's going to fill them with joy, not just for the day that they get it, not even just for the week that they get it, and maybe not even just for the whole year that they get to use this, but really, I think this gift is going to bring them joy for the rest of their lives. Now, you might be thinking, Greg, that is a big statement. That is setting the bar really high for your gift that you're going to give this year. And you're very right. That is a very big statement, and I am setting the bar very high. And to the rest of my family who's watching this later on, I'm sorry that you're not getting this gift because you're going to be crushed. But for that who is getting this gift, I am very confident that this gift will give you be a source of joy for you for a very long time. Now, if you're taking notes for confirmation this morning, I want to have you write down a guess of what you think this gift is. I'm not going to say it because my family is watching this, and I don't want to spoil Christmas for them or this great gift and the joy that gets to come across their face at that time. But I want you to guess. And if you want to guess, too, you can ask me afterwards, I'm not going to tell you. But so this season of Christmas, this Christmas season is a great time to remember the gifts that we have been given. And I don't just mean these physical gifts that people give us, but also the gift of having a warm place to be on a cold winter day, or being able to gather together, this gift of gathering together to worship both online and in person, or the gift of being able to be with the people that we love. This last year, I was given a gift that brings me joy every single day. This bundle of joy weighs just over 17 pounds, and with assistance, stands a little over 2 feet tall, and there is no one on earth that can bring as much joy to me from a little sneeze, a big fart, or a sweet giggle than Owen can. There's just something about experiencing this guy grow up that just brings so much joy into my life, and that joy, I just want to share it with other people, anyone who will listen. So maybe you've been on the receiving end of that receiving of joy, and I've shared a picture with you of that Owen's done something cute, or I've shared a funny story that he's done. And there might be some of you who haven't experienced this, and for that I want to say I am sorry. I'm sorry I have not shared the joy of Owen with you yet, and I want to change that by you coming up to me afterwards and asking to see a picture of Owen, or I'll let you hold Owen, or anything of that. I am sorry I have deprived you of the joy that is Owen. And I know I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not the only parent, and I'm not a grandparent yet, but I know there's grandparents who also love to share the joy of their children and their grandchildren with anyone who will hear. There's just something about when you experience the joy of something or the joy of someone that you want to share it with others. And it's especially true when it's something that you have been waiting for. In Scripture, there's a story of an old couple who got to experience a very similar type of joy that I have been experiencing this last year. And we find their story in the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse 5. So if you have your phones, I invite you to pull those out, as you, or if you have a Bible as well, to open up Luke 1, starting in verse 5. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. So before I go any further into this story, I want to help explain this first part a little bit. This was not just an ordinary day for Zechariah. He had the honor of burning incense in the temple, in the sanctuary. Now, this isn't just like us coming up on a Sunday morning and lighting these candles that you see on the table here. This is something very different. This would likely be the one and only time that Zechariah would get to do this. The honor of burning incense in the temple was usually something that happened only once in the life of a priest. So imagine the joy that Zechariah and Elizabeth were experiencing this day, that this was the day he gets to enter into the temple and burn the incense. I can almost picture it. I can picture Zechariah trying to go to sleep at night. He's laying in bed just excited for the next day, just like a lot of kids are on Christmas Eve when they get to open presents. But Zechariah is excited. He's trying to fall asleep. And then finally he falls asleep and he wakes up the next morning. And as he's getting ready, he puts on his traditional priestly attire. He puts on his tunic. He puts on his pants. He puts on his belt. And he puts on his hat. And as he's walking to the temple, he's probably got a little bound in his step. He's excited to go to the temple because he gets to burn the incense this day. And as he gets to the temple, he gathers the hot coals together and the incense that is needed for this honored task. And he begins to head inside. And I'm sure as he's heading inside, there's a mix of emotions. He's feeling probably joy and excitement, but there also might be a little bit of nerves of this big task. So let's keep reading to see what happens when Zechariah is in the temple. This is Luke 1, starting at verse 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord, their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then verse 19 continues, "Then the angel said, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time.' Meanwhile, the people were waiting out for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized that from his gestures and the silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. 'How kind the Lord is,' she exclaimed. 'He has taken away my disgrace of having no children.' Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting. They were praying for a long time for God to give them a child, for them to have a son. And now on this very day, this day that was already going to be memorable for Zechariah, he is greeted by an angel who says his prayers have been heard. The wait is over. You are going to have a son, Zechariah. Now, it might be easy for us to read this story and critique Zechariah for questioning, for doubting Gabriel. But I want to remind you that Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were an old couple. They were well past the years of childbearing for Elizabeth. It seemed physically impossible. And if Zechariah was anything like myself and liked to overthink things sometimes, I imagine these were some of the thoughts that were going in his mind as Gabriel was promising that he was going to have a son. I'm sure he heard his aunts or the church ladies of the time who would question them right after they got married, when are you guys going to have kids? When are you going to begin your family? When? How many kids do you want? How? Are there any family names that you want to name your kids after? And then as they got older and they still hadn't had kids, maybe the questions became more of, what have you done to make God displeased with you, that he will not allow you to have any children? Because at this time, that was what was thought. If you didn't have children, you must have done something to displease God, and that was your punishment. So after all these years of people asking them questions or looking down on Zechariah and Elizabeth, I can imagine why he would question what Gabriel had just told him. How often do we respond in the same way or similar way to what Zechariah did? God is trying to tell us something, and we are too focused on those physical things that are right in front of us, or we're listening to the other voices over God's voice instead of trusting that God will do what he promises. Zechariah heard voices telling him that it is too late, instead of listening to God say that the time is now. Like Zechariah, we may hear the joy that God promises us, but we still doubt that he has a plan that can make it happen. We hear the voices of other people who have told us we can't for so long that we forget the joy that comes with the confidence that Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, that our power comes from God alone. So as we read the story of Zechariah in the temple, I see that there are three joyful things that Zechariah is promised. The first is the joy of the news that he is going to be a dad, that Zechariah and Elizabeth finally get to become parents. The second one is that his son John is going to have the Holy Spirit inside of him, that John will be a man with the power of Elijah, and that John will prepare the way for the Messiah. So as a priest, Zechariah would have a deep understanding of what is written in the Old Testament. He would know that it wasn't common for the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of people. He would also be very familiar with the stories of Elijah and know the works that God did through his life as a prophet. But to Zechariah, these first two promises would pale in comparison to the third one. He would know what is written about the Messiah God promised would arrive one day. He would know the passage of Malachi 3:1 that says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. So this is the third joyful thing that is promised to Zechariah. And it's also the most important one, that the promised Messiah is going to be arriving soon. And on top of that, an extra added joy is that Zechariah's son, John, is the one who gets to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. People in the Old Testament, they were waiting for this Messiah to come. And throughout Scripture, we read that God would give them hints about how it was going to happen, but they never knew the when. They never knew when it was going to happen. Zechariah was among those who were waiting for most of his life. And then, finally, the wait is over. The Messiah is finally coming. Just think of the joy and the excitement that he must have been feeling in that time where he hears this news, that the wait is over, the Messiah is coming. But remember, because Zechariah didn't believe what Gabriel said, he couldn't speak for the entire time until John was born. And so this joy and excitement that was within him, he couldn't verbally express it to other people. He had to keep it within himself. And I can kind of relate to this a little bit, this experience of being told something that fills you with so much joy, but you aren't able to share it with anyone. When Miranda and I first found out that we were pregnant with Owen, there's this joy that filled my whole being. I was so excited that we were going to have our little guy. I didn't know he was a guy. I was very confident he was a girl, but he's not. But there's just this joy that came over all of me. And I just wanted to share with anyone that I knew and people I didn't know too. I just wanted to tell them, we are going to have a baby. I am so excited. But we decided to wait. We waited 8 long weeks to tell people. And we will do it again next time. This is not my announcement. We're not pregnant. But we decided to wait. Now, there is a difference between my experience and Zachariah's experience. The difference is that we chose our holding our joy. We decided to not share the joy, but Zachariah, it was decided for him. He didn't have the opportunity to say, I'm not going to share this joy until after John is born. He had to stay silent through that whole time. And then when John finally is born, when Zachariah can finally speak, he doesn't just calmly say anything. He busts into song. He bursts out singing because of all this joy that's been built up for so long. He just sings out. And we find the words that he's saying in Luke 1, starting in verse 67. Now, I'm not going to sing this because I don't know the tune that he sang, but imagine Zachariah singing with the joy that he had at this time. So it says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through the holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. I feel like my reading of this song doesn't do justice the pure joy and excitement that Zachariah was experiencing when he was belting this out. I can hear him crying out saying, thank you, God. Thank you for remembering us, your people. Thank you for remembering the covenant you promised us. Thank you for the promise that you have made to us. And the one thing that I love most about this song, the song that Zachariah is saying, is that he doesn't start with the birth of his own son. He begins with the joy that comes from the arrival of the promised Messiah. I was listening to the Bible Recap podcast in preparation for this message, and they said this about his song. They said, Zachariah had just gotten a yes from a long-prayed prayer. So you would think that when he breaks into song, he would be singing about the birth of his child, but he doesn't do that. He skips straight past that to the upcoming birth of Jesus. Zachariah knows what the point is. It's not the yes to his own desires. It's the yes to all of humanity's long-awaited redemption. The birth of Jesus is the yes that surpasses all of our prayers and the peace that surpasses all of our fears. He is where the joy is. And I love that last line. He is where the joy is. So as we prepare ourselves for the birth of Jesus this Advent season, there might be some of you who are listening right now and you're feeling that this season might not be as joyful as it once was. And I want to acknowledge that and tell you that I am sorry. I truly hope and pray that this season of Christmas you can find joy and comfort in the things that God has promised. For the people in the Old Testament, they were waiting with joy and anticipation for the promised Messiah. And just like God promised the Messiah, Jesus Christ was born exactly as he was prophesied. So this season, we celebrate with great joy that God has held true to his promise. And we look forward to what God promised in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. This is the promised joy that we get to share with all who will hear it. That Jesus Christ came to this world as a little baby. He died for our sins. He defeated death so that we can be in right relationship with him again. This Christmas season and beyond, it is our privilege to prepare the way for Jesus to return by sharing the joy that God has promised all of those who put their trust in him. Revelation 21, 1 through 5 says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is the joy of Christmas. That Jesus has promised that he is coming back again, that he has gone to prepare a place for you and for me and for all those who put their trust in him. So it is our privilege and honor to share this promised joy with all who will hear, so that they too may see God face to face someday, that they may dwell with God in this new kingdom. So let's share the joy. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the joy of Christmas. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is where our joy is at. Lord, we praise you for sending your Son to this world, that he can live among us and die for our sins and conquer death so that we can be right in relationship with you again. Lord, we pray that we share this promised joy with anyone who we have the opportunity to. Lord, that you give us the confidence, that you give us the words to speak, that we remember that we can do all things through you who gives us strength. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.